To find the bird at this time of year, there's only one place to go, the pine forests of northern Michigan.
Hear anything out there yet?
No. No, we may need to take a walk.
Forest Service biologist Joe Gamola hikes off in search of a Kirtland's warbler. He's armed with binoculars and a bird-watching scope that looks like a bazooka, but he's really using his ears. He doesn't need to go far. Quietly, he sets up his scope and focuses on a small pine about 20 feet away. There, a bluish-gray bird, head thrown back, yellow breast puffed out, warbles the loudest song in the forest.
He has to know we're here, and he just sits unperturbed. Just gorgeous.
This is the only part of the world where Kirtland's warbler are known to nest, drawn to the scrubby young jack pine that reseed in forest fires. Logging and fire prevention efforts brought the bird close to extinction. In 1987, researchers counted only 167 singing males. Ironically, a tragic accident marked a turning point for the warbler. In 1980, what had begun as a small controlled burn to create nesting ground for the bird turned into a massive wildfire, killing a Forest Service worker and engulfing the small village of Mack Lake. But Rex Ennis, head of the warbler recovery team, says the disaster eventually created 25,000 acres of ideal warbler habitat. Unexpectedly, the bird began to thrive.
There was loss of life, loss of property, which were all tragedies when you looked at that. But the end result of that, it created an ecological condition that we saw the warbler respond to. Those things that we learned from that wildfire made our current management strategy very successful.
That strategy involves state and federal agencies working together under the Endangered Species Act to control predators and create warbler habitat by clear-cutting and reforestation. The goal is to replicate conditions once created naturally by wildfire. After the Mack Lake disaster, researchers realized much larger managed habitat areas were needed. Today, 150,000 acres of state and federal land have been identified as potential habitat. It's a massive, multi-million dollar effort, and not everybody likes it. Linda Gordert and her husband own Northern Sporting Goods in Mayo, the heart of warbler country. She says folks resent the warbler program because it restricts access to the state and national forests.
More complaints from hunters and more just everybody. When they come in, they'll say, well, you know, you can't go into this land because it says Kirtland Warbler Management Area. They're taking up thousands and thousands of more acres of this because of the Kirtland Management Area, and that's the complaints we hear.
The bird supporters counter the warbler benefits the region. The forestry program creates jobs and revenue, and a yearly Kirtland's Warbler Festival attracts thousands for a glimpse of the rare, pretty songbird. But there will always be competition for the land, and the recovery team says it needs more acreage, not less, to replace habitat as it matures and becomes unsuitable for the bird. His scope still on the warbler, Joe Gamola says some worry about the danger of a fire like the Mack Lake burn, happening again in the flammable jack pine they now plant.
But it's part of the ecosystem that was here before us, same with the Kirtlands, and we're charged with managing habitat for this endangered species. And that's what we're doing.
Is that the same bird?
Same bird. We're probably close to the center of his territory. He's made almost a full circle around us.
This year's census found 1,340 singing males, a record that has started talk of eventually changing the warbler's endangered status. But the recovery program has become the bird's life support system. 90% of the birds were counted in man-made plantations, indicating habitat management must also continue indefinitely if the bird is to survive. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Sally Isley.